and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm here with Dan Somrak and Dave Bennett from the API team for Windows 8. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, you bet. Now, before we start talking about the roaming API, let's start with who you guys are. Dan, let's start with you. Who are you? Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm here with Dan Somrak and Dave Bennett from the API team for Windows 8. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, you bet. Now, before we start talking about the roaming API, let's start with who you guys are. Dan, let's start with you. Who are you?
Yeah, so I work on the SkyDrive team and out here in Redmond, Washington. And we primarily work, in terms of roaming, we handle all the transport transport of settings, and we also do the roaming of Windows 8, so your operating system settings are in sync, and we handle all the cloud integration that goes into Windows.
Cool. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I work on the Applications Experience team, specifically on the Application Data Object and the 1RT surface. So basically how you work with app data, how you save the data, where it gets saved to, how we create the data stores, how we do the translation from in the cloud and back down again, events and notifications you get around application data and that sort of stuff.
Okay, so we're here to talk about specifically the roaming API, which is specifically, we're talking about one of the coolest features, I think, for Windows 8 apps. Describe to me what the roaming API is. Just give me the elevator pitch here.
So in Windows 8, we did a lot of work to kind of reimagine the operating system. I'm sure everyone's heard that phrase before. One of those things was enabling it for the cloud, being able to sign in with your Microsoft account and having everything connected. And we connected your OS settings and everything, and we wanted to let application developers do the same thing. And so we gave them some free APIs that they could store stuff in the cloud and get it and not have to think about anything.
Nice. So I can go into Windows 8, change my background wallpaper, say, go to another device that I've got Windows 8 on. That wallpaper is changed there. That's a cool roaming experience, but you're bringing that to custom apps.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're also bringing it to the apps experience. So specifically, we wanted to stick with the Windows 8 theme along the idea of identity and preferences and personalization. So if you go to another machine, we don't want you to just get your wallpaper and you know your various other desktop settings. We also want you to get your app settings the way you like them, and ideally even just where you were in your app, so you could like get up from your slate at home, playing a game or working on reading a book or something, set that down, go to work, pick up, go to the same place you left off.
Yeah.
And same preferences, same style. You know, your weather is all the same degrees you want it in, same units. You know, your travel app has sort of the same favorite locations that you like. Those sort of things are the things we're targeting for Windows 8.
That makes tons of sense. It's a seamless transition then as I move from device. Dave, how many devices do you have?
Hopefully. Three or four.
You have to take your shoes off.
Track.
I think it's just reality, right? You're going to install Windows 8 on multiple devices. We're not the only ones. I mean, we're just here because we're the nerds up front, but eventually it's going to be a common scenario over and over again.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Especially if you start sharing devices or have multiple people have one PC, why can't it just have the same settings as their slate that they took to work?
Yeah. Why can't they, Dan? They can. That's what's great. Hey, no, seriously, tell me how roaming works. So it's tied to my Microsoft account?
Yes. So for the operating system roaming, you just log in with your Microsoft account, and we do a bunch of stuff for you. So we know who you are. We've got your username and password. We can then sync files up to SkyDrive in kind of like a back-end area.
Yep.
And then when you log into another PC, we start syncing all that stuff down. So as you log in for the first time, all of your stuff just kind of magically appears. And then once you start using it, as you change settings, or if you're an application developer and you write something to the roaming settings API, we'll pick that up and we'll send it up to the cloud. And then we'll send a WNS notification down to the other PCs and they can all update.
It's a WNS notification that tells them to update. Oh, that's fascinating. So, and then what causes it to sync in the first place?
So the we tried to go for this model of just keep it as simple as possible, make it really easy for any developer to use. So whereas, like for example, iCloud, you have to do a lot of overhead to set up the iCloud connection. For Windows 8, it's all just in the box. It just works. Every single Metro app can leverage this without doing anything extra. All you have to do is decide where you want to put the data. You put the data in the local folder or local settings, it will not roam. And if you put it in the roaming settings or roaming folder, then it will roam. And we tried to make that even easier just by doing the right thing automatically for you. We'll handle the roaming semantics and when to push the files up and when to put the settings up. On behalf of the developer, so the developer doesn't have to deal with it. You don't have to worry about, well, is the file in sync? Has the data been sent? Is now a good time? You don't have to set up background agents. You don't have to do any of that stuff. We do all that for you.
I get it. I hear your answer. Your answer is stop asking that question, because let the heuristic be done by the operating system, right? Let it figure it all out for you and do what's best so you can just take a rest. Otherwise, you're going to get developers implementing it poorly, probably, and you're going to have developers who shy away because it's too complex.
Right. Yeah, but the other thing is, because we're doing the syncing for you, you can have offline support for your app. Like, otherwise, you'd have to download only when the app is running.
Yeah.
But since we're doing all the stuff for you, you can go offline, the user can change their preferences, it looks like it saves, it runs as a normal app, and then as soon as they hit the internet connection, we sync and...
So my app can be installed on two machines. I can go on the first machine. I can save my settings. On the second machine, it's not even running. The machine's running, but my app's not running, and it still is synchronizing all of those settings.
Yep. Yeah, that's why we take care of it, because it does a lot of more work for the developer, stuff that they can't even do with the way apps work.
Brilliant. Okay, so I can imagine this is going to have an impact on battery and bandwidth. How do you guys take care of that to make sure that developers aren't killing my machine?
Yeah, so we have this was something that we really worked hard on. Some feedback that some people have about iCloud or Apple is that it drains the battery because they're constantly syncing, and that was something that we wanted to avoid from the get-go. And so something that we did was have these ideas of triggers. So when the user walks away from their machine or the screensaver comes on or they log in, then we'll do a sync. If they're heavily using it, you know, we won't worry about it. If they're about to leave their PC and go to another one, then we'll sync because, hey, people don't use two PCs at once. They just move from one to the other. So by the time they get to the other PC, it'll be waiting for them. And we can do that in smart ways so that it reduces the battery consumption, and we can put it all into one package so it reduces the network utilization as well.
Now, where is all this actually going? What's your storage mechanism up there? You're putting it all in. You tell me.
Yeah. So SkyDrive, it all goes into SkyDrive. It's not visible to the user on SkyDrive.com, but it's in the back end. It's not part of SkyDrive quota, but we use the same servers. We've got the same infrastructure.
Nice. So you're just throwing it in the cloud, that we all use, frankly.
Yeah.
That's probably how it's also tied to my Microsoft account so easily.
Yep.
Oh, that makes sense. All right, so I'm using the app data name the app data namespace. I can save it to my temp file, my local file folder, or I can save it to the roaming folder, and I can just throw what is it, Dave? I can throw anything in there.
You could put anything in there. We do have limits. So in Windows, Windows 8, we're really going for that customer promise of keeping your preferences in traveling with you, and also trying to preserve that continuous experience, kind of like what you were doing, and be able to handle all this stuff behind the scenes and do it in a very efficient way so it doesn't take away from the user's experience, like in battery life or network usage and that sort of thing, required us to be a little more restrictive on how much data we move. So we have currently a 100K limit for all the roaming settings, which we believe is plenty sufficient for handling all of the sort of preferences and settings and favorites and sort of things that you would need to create those experiences. And if you happen to go over that limit, your app doesn't break or stop working. We just stop syncing the settings until it gets back down into the limit, and then it'll resume.
Got it. And so I get with a limit like that, really you do just want to save what maybe your preferences and probably the state of the application so that you feel like it's natural as you're moving from app to app like that as well.
Yep.
And then So there's no async method. It's not like that. It's not like I say save and await it. I just save it and let the operating system kick in, right?
Exactly.
Now, let's say I'm a developer, which I am a developer, and let's say I wanted to debug some of this, right, because I want to see that it works. If I am running this in Visual Studio and I deploy my app to I can try it on my local machine, how do I get it to roam? Or when does it start to roam? Like after it's through the store?
Well, it'll actually roam even in Visual Studio when you're developing the app, which can sometimes be problematic. We honestly have some gaps here where it is kind of difficult to do some of the debugging. But we have a tool I'm sure Dan will tell you about in a minute. But we also have a way that if you go into like the settings, you could sort of the monitoring control panel, you can disable all the roaming in general, and that way it doesn't interfere with your development. But basically, there's nothing special that a developer should be doing to create the roaming experiences. We designed it so you just use it and use the files, use the settings like you would local settings. They're not really any different. So it's really not something the developer should worry about in terms of, hey, is it roaming correctly or anything like that. Like, we handle that, and so, you know, they shouldn't worry about that.
I got it. So if a Windows 8 app is just running, a debug or whatever, it's automatically set up and ready to roam. And so if you want to try roaming out, you don't have to go through the store in order to get through those cycles. You just can start roaming like that. I realize that the full heuristic around roaming is totally handled by the operating system. But if I, as a developer, have a need to cause roaming to occur, do I have any options at all?
Yeah, one thing you can do, I mentioned before that we have triggers when a user isn't at the PC anymore. You can just lock the screen, and as long as you haven't been excessively roaming and hit our abuse limits, then we'll roam what you have when you lock the screen.
So just Windows L, lock the screen, and we know that that's the trigger that'll cause it to happen. Very nice.
Yes.
So that's a user initiated. All our triggers are user initiated. So we try to smartly roam by basing off of user action. So as Dan mentioned, it's not designed for side-by-side roaming. You're not intended to just have two PCs and use them as like an IPC mechanism or RPC mechanism. So instead, we want you to just use the PC like you normally use it, switch PCs and use that PC, and just go back and forth using, you know, kind of one at a time as opposed to trying to do it simultaneously. So
yeah.
I think something developers might be tempted to do is to try to test roaming or see how it works by putting it side by side, and then they might get a little disappointed in the results because it's not really designed for that scenario.
It's not real time communication.
Yeah. It's not meant to be real time.
Just keeping it in sync.
But they can sort of force the behavior and simulate it by doing as Dan suggested, is locking on PC1. And then,
now what if I have a setting? I mean, I could see a scenario that maybe there's a setting that really is like it's an important setting. Like maybe I'm changing my password or something like that.
Oh,
I need that to synchronize.
Don't ever put passwords in roaming. That's bad.
Good best practice.
For that.
Yeah, okay. So if you just put it into the credential vault, that'll actually get roamed for you.
Automatically.
As part of the operating system. So one of the switches in the settings area of Windows 8 is my sign-in information and my password. So if that's switched on, we'll roam the credential vault. But if you do have a setting that either needs to be is like more of a higher priority, we have a setting called High Priority.
It's a pretty good name.
Yeah, I know. We thought so. So you just name the setting High Priority, and you can check MSDN if you need to look back and do this again. But we'll sync it as soon as you call that. And then up to 1 minute afterwards. So
pretty fast.
Yeah, pretty quick.
Yeah.
And that's if you have something like the pager in a book and you expect someone to need to see that page right away. Whereas Celsius versus Fahrenheit, it's okay if that update's a little bit late.
That's right. That's right. As long as it eventually synchronizes, right?
Yeah.
So the two core scenarios that we have, this high priority is designed for the continuous experience scenario where you have some important information about what the user's doing at the time, and that information could potentially change very quickly. Like, say I'm looking at a sports app and I'm viewing my favorite sports team, looking at the scores. You might put in a high priority, like which which sports team I'm looking at, what page I'm looking at, what kind of what screen inside of the app I'm looking at, and then high priority roam that. So if I switch devices and go over and pick up like my slate on a different machine, I load up that app, it immediately already has exactly where I was before. So I can just keep on using exactly where I left off. You know,
it sounds like state information really has a good place there for high priority. And high priority, to be clear, is just one setting with the string name of high priority, and it's case insensitive.
Yeah, it's case sensitive.
It is.
Capital H, capital P. Yeah.
Capital H, capital P. And I don't have to necessarily put just some string in there, right? I can put a complex object into a setting as well. So that means I could potentially high priority roam, you know, if I needed both page number and font size or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, something we didn't mention is we have two types of places that you can use for roaming settings. The roaming settings, which are key value pairs, and then there's also the roaming folder where you can just chuck in files that are up to 100 kilobytes and we'll roam that. So the high priority is one of the key value pair settings.
And so it's not that I can put in files that are 100K. I can put in all the files I want. I can put in all the settings I want, and it's cumulative that they can't be over 100K, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And then, Dave, how am I going to tell if I'm at my 100K?
We don't have a current usage mechanic to say what you're currently using. That was a little bit hectic to create. We'll go into technical details, but the idea is that we don't want developers to try to play sort of chicken with the limit of settings
and
try to get right up to the edge and then stop. We'd really like them to, you know, use it for what we intended it for, which is the preferences and creating a continuous experience. And, you know, keep it small. And they should be able to know just by what they use by planning the data ahead of time. Like, if they want to keep a list of favorites, you can calculate how much each favorite takes, figure out the space you want to use, and sort of put a cap on it so you're not ever going to go over that limit. Same thing with other settings. For a typical app that only has, you know, a handful of settings and a couple favorites or something along those lines, and maybe just keeps track of what page it's on in the app, they shouldn't have any problems hitting the limits or worrying about the space usage. So
if my app is running on two different devices and one device updates, how does the other one know that occurred so it can respond to the changes in the settings?
Is it just on load? Well, we have we actually have an event called in the application data space called the data changed event.
Okay.
And that event is called whenever the roaming engine does its work and places down data, it will signal data changed, signal that event. That event can also be signaled manually by the developer. So that's for sort of like within the same machine. But if you just listen for that event, anytime the roaming happens, or incoming roaming happens, and your data has changed sort of while the app is running, you can respond to that event to do whatever you need to do. You can ignore it.
Ah, nice. So if I'm on my settings page, I can update my settings, raise the data change, and all the pages that use those settings can respond without me having to wire up a bunch of plumbing.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the sort of the local case where if you're on the same machine and you want to update.
Yeah. That's a good use, yeah.
For roaming, we use the same event. It's just that you don't have to signal it. The system does it for you.
Nice. And it is, I mean, if you do have two apps open at the same time, developer beware, right? I mean, it's the last one to write will overwrite the other. If they're writing at the same time, it's the last one in that wins.
Yep.
Now, if I'm a developer, I know not to save my password. What are some other things that don't belong in roaming to you guys? What do you think are the anti-patterns for developers jamming stuff in?
Good one.
Anything that's easily reproducible, I would say. So something like anything is what I would call content. Like, for example, if I have a news app and I want to record, you know, how many, or have a setting that might say how many pages of content I want to see on a single view.
Yeah.
Or if I have in high priority a tracking of which article I'm reading and what page in that article I'm viewing, I don't want to actually put the article itself in the roaming. I don't want to sort of JSON stringify the entire page and then throw that into roaming. That would be that
you
would
mean
be
all the content and stuff like that. I mean,
right,
you
yes.
get that from a service, go get
right.
it from a service on every device. Okay.
Yeah.
Now SQLite is supported for XAML developers, I know. I could put my SQLite database in a folder. Would roaming be a good candidate for my database too? It seems like I'd like to have it on both.
If it's very small, you could do that, but we would actually recommend that you use like an Azure service for something like that.
Yeah, you're just asking for trouble probably of getting it overwritten.
Yeah.
Or
you want to be really careful if stuff can grow without bound.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's something that can easily go over 100 and you're just kind of crossing your fingers that people don't, you know, that's a pretty bad case. Obviously, if someone has 800 cities that they like to see weather for, it's okay that they don't have roaming. If you want to make it easy for the people that only have two cities, you know.
Yeah. If you feel like your settings or whatever that you might put in roaming are going to bump up against that 100, you're looking at Azure now, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So that brings up an interesting point. Dan, why wouldn't I just use Azure anyway?
Well, that's a good question. But the key difference is since we're storing to SkyDrive's backend, it's something that Microsoft is giving everyone. And that if you wanted to...
By which you mean it's free.
Yeah.
That's the first bonus.
I mean, it's free, and it's free for the developer to use. If they use Azure, and then they have, say, 10,000 people start using their app, they're going to eventually have to pay, even if they had, like, a free trial. So if you don't want to pay and only have a little bit of settings to roam between machines, use our stuff. But if you want to use your own backend or want to use Azure and you want to actually see what is in that the roaming folder, or if you want to like collect and accumulate or aggregate stuff, then you should find your own backend. And that's fine with us. We want we really want to get that key scenario of both configuring once and seeing on all of your PCs and continuous use across PCs, no matter what backend you use. And we just wanted to lower the bar, and so that's why we provided these free APIs.
Roaming more than 100K is an edge case anyway. I mean, you really are. It's nice that we have a solution that you can use Azure, but certainly just handing out roaming for free is an unbelievable deal for developers. Now, my app, which you were saying 10,000, I'm going to have at least 11,000 users for my app. You know, I have a companion app on Windows Phone, and I'm ready to roam my apps to every device. So what are my options now? I'm using Windows Phone.
Well, we don't have any options for cross-platform, and that's definitely a gap and something that we'd like to do in the future, but that's just not something we have right now. We wanted to target the Windows 8 ecosystem, and it just scoped down the problem and made it a lot easier to do for the first version.
And it is, I do have it for all versions of Windows 8, right? I can go to WinRT or Windows 8, either one, I can go to 10.
Yep.
Nice.
Any Windows 8 device, yeah.
Now, I just installed an app, and it uses roaming, right? And now, what's happening on the back end? Is there a garbage collection or something like that that is taking care of these settings?
So as long as you have an app installed on a PC, it'll be we'll keep it in the cloud. If you ever uninstall the app and you're not using it anymore, we'll keep it around for a couple months in case you do bring up the install on another PC or start using your PC again. But if we do end up deleting it, if it's still on your PC, it'll just roam back up to the cloud. So we found a solution so that we can keep our servers pretty clear after a couple months, but you don't lose any data. It's still on your device, and when you connect to the internet, it'll be back on our servers.
So it's not there forever. You guys will clean it up. Now what if instead of worrying about that because you guys give me the space for free. It's not like I need to keep it clean, right?
Right.
But what if I'm nervous? What if I'm one of those guys and I'm worried about all of my information? Is there any way I can control the roaming that's being used by apps or somehow can control the information? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so if you want to just turn off roaming for apps or any of the other settings in Windows 8, you can go into settings in Windows. And there's a section called Sync Your Settings, and you can switch off one of the sliders that says Roam My Apps. And that's great if you've got like a work PC, you don't want to roam the same stuff there. Now, if you're more privacy conscious you don't want anything in our cloud and on our servers, we do have a website where you can delete all of the roaming data. And that's, you know, we just provide that if anyone wants to make sure that their data is completely cleared off Microsoft servers.
Nice. I've used your guys' API in my apps. I really have. I've shown a lot of developers how to use it. It's super simple. I mean, it's embarrassing how simple it is, right? It's hard to imagine there's that much power behind it. I mean, it's almost like you just have to go with faith that it's actually there. But it really is, isn't it? It's pretty neat. It's neat what it all can do. It scales with you. You don't have to think about it even twice. Everything just happens. It gives you tons of functionality. Guys, I'd like to thank both of you for coming on the show, introducing us a little bit, and getting to meet you guys and learn who you are, too.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jerry.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And for you, the watcher, don't forget roaming settings inside your application can help you transition as users go from device to device running your application, giving them a seamless experience. Don't forget to try it, right? It's in the app data namespace. All you do is interact with it just like it's a folder, just like it's your settings dictionary, and your app is that much better. Thanks for watching.